Sometimes I really cannot stand Belinda. I mean, she's just an impossible act to follow. Why am I even up here? We had the song. Thank you, ladies, all of y'all, not just Belinda. That was wonderful. That was really, really wonderful. So.
Why do you think we asked for it?
Have y'all had a good day so far? I feel like the time's been flying by. It doesn't feel like we've been here since 10 o'clock at all. In fact, that may have been the quickest 45 minutes I've ever experienced, Jeff. That was just, like, I was like, he only preached for 15 minutes. And I looked at my phone and I'm like, no, he was at it for a while. So in case you've joined us, I don't know if anybody's joined us on the back half or in case you've forgotten, let's just do a quick recap. Brother Tim was in session one, and he had the job of defining the Trinity, which I thought he did a phenomenal job. He took us on the journey. I say phenomenally in true perspective. They got mad at me because I had drafted my sermon, and I knew I was going to do a recap, and I had expectations that it all would go well. So I included that in my draft, and they're like, man, Chaz, you got the gift of prophecy or something? And I said, no, I just expect good things from good preachers. I may have said too much on that one. I expect good things from people who preach the Bible. So Brother Tim laid the firmest foundation on the doctrine of the Trinity, which ultimately boils down to 3 points. God is eternally three persons. Each person is fully God, and there is one God. And while surely it's a mystery that we will never be able to understand, at least in this life, hopefully, eventually, maybe we get a easier glimpse into it. It is still a doctrine that is extremely supported by Scripture and one that is essential to Christianity. In session two, Brother Jeff talked about the question, is the Trinity an essential Christian belief? And he took us through church history, and I don't have a slideshow for you. So the only beard you get to look at is my own. It's not as pointy or long, but it's a beard. So. But he took us to the history of the church. We saw that what the Trinity was from the very beginning, from the Bible itself as it was being penned to the early church fathers in 200s and the 300s and the 400s, all the way to the Protestant Reformation and until present day. We saw how Orthodox Christianity, biblical Christianity, view God, and specifically in the way of the Trinity. So this is a very important thing because in my session, I have the unfortunate privilege to defend the Trinity, but also make bold statements on what is outlying of Christianity, which denominations, religions do not fall in what we believe biblically the Bible talks about with the Trinity. So. There's been a variety of philosophies and thoughts over on the question of who is God over the years, even within Christian groups, about are we worshiping the same God? Muhammad Ali once said, rivers, ponds, lakes, and streams, they all have different names, but they all contain water, just as religions do. They all contain truths. Sounds like a good premise, a good idea. Rabbi Eric Yoffe says, our view is that there's truth and holiness in other religious faiths. Our view is that there are many paths to God. Ramakrishna, a Hindu mystic, said God has made different religions to suit different aspirations. An ancient Japanese saying, there are many paths up the mountain, but the view from the moon, from the top, it's all the same. Even popular Christian Pastor Joel Osteen struggles with the question. He was on Larry King several years ago, and a caller called in. He says, hello, Larry, you're the best, and thank you, Joel, for your positive messages and your book. I'm wondering, though, why you sidestepped Larry's earlier question about how we get to heaven. The Bible clearly tells us that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the light, and the only way to the Father is through him. That's not really a message of condemnation, but of truth. And Osteen said, yes, I would agree with her. I believe that. So Larry King jumped in and said, so then is a Jew not going to heaven? Osteen said, no, here's my thing, Larry. I can't judge someone's heart, you know. Only God can look at somebody's heart, and so I don't know. To me, it's not my business to say you can know or this one is or isn't. I just say, here's what the Bible teaches, and I'm going to put my faith in Christ. And I just think it's wrong when you go around saying you're not going. You're not going. Because it's not exactly my way. Larry King asked, but you believe your way? And Osteen says, yes, I believe my way. I believe my way with all of my heart. Larry King said, but for someone who doesn't share it, are they wrong? And Osteen says, well, yes. Well, I don't know if I look at it like that. I would present my way, but I'm going to let God be the judge of that. I don't know. So Larry King followed up, so you make no judgments on anyone. And Osteen, unfortunately, says no. Even Pope Francis recently said, all of us together, Muslims, Hindus, Catholics, Copts, Evangelicals, all brothers and sisters, children of the same God, we want to live in peace, integrated. Wide view of philosophies, wide view of theologies, a whole lot of desiring unity, but I really like what Brother Jeff said earlier, and he said, without truth, there cannot be unity. Without truth, it all falls flat. So as we start session 3, as we look at this, we're going to look at a question that should not be taken lightly. It's vitally important, and it sets the stage for either unity between all people without regard for doctrines, because that's what Muhammad Ali, that's what Osteen, that's what all these other people were saying, or, on the contrary, it clarifies the fact that there are so many individuals who are lost and in need of a Savior. If the Trinity is an essential belief, it is the dividing line for how we view people's relationship with God. We've come here, we've sat through 2 sessions so far, and overwhelmingly, we've affirmed that the Trinity is an essential Christian belief. And if that's where we stand, if that's what we affirm, then that's what we need to defend, and that's why we need to take a look, a reasonable look at other denominations, about other religions, not to cast judgments, not to point fingers, but to identify people who are in need of a Savior. We're going to start real quick in 1 John chapter 2, verses 19 through 24. I think John does a phenomenal job here. One of our earlier pastors mentioned that he was dealing with church heresy, how they viewed Jesus in relation to God at this point. And John really, I feel, clarifies a lot of things. So 1 John chapter 2, 19 through 24. He says, they went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out, that it might become plain that they were not of us. But you have been anointed by the Holy One, and you have all knowledge. I write to you not because you do not know the truth, but because you know it, and because no lie is of the truth. Who is the liar but he who denies that Jesus is the Christ? This is the Antichrist, he who denies the Father and the Son. No one who denies the Son has the Father. Whoever confesses the Son has the Father also. Let what you heard from the beginning abide in you. If what you heard from the beginning abides in you, then you too will abide in the Son and in the Father. John plainly points out what is orthodoxy versus heresy, what is biblical versus philosophy that may make your heart feel good. And as he did, we need to understand the distinctions within people of faith as well. The person, the denomination, the religion, whatever it is, whatever you're judging, that builds itself upon the principles of Scripture, namely in the case that they build themselves upon the scriptural doctrine of the Trinity, is because they know the truth. That's what John said. On the contrary, the person, denomination, religion that rejects the scriptural principles of the Trinity is at best extremely misled, and at worst embracing a wholesale rejection of who God has clearly revealed himself to be, namely one triune God with 3 distinct forms and roles who eternally exist. So as we take a look at the other denominations and religions, as people that you may know start to pop into your head, which inevitably it will happen, let's look at the dividing line to see whether they are within the biblical boundaries or outside of them. Now, this may be difficult in many instances because of the similarities that are often used within word usage, even theology at times. Sorry, I lost myself. But even in the fact that scripture oftentimes may be used to fit a false narrative, there's a lot of lingo out there that coincides. There's a lot of things that can be confusing. But ultimately, if it brings us away from the idea that God is one triune God, then like John said, they are not of the truth. They have gone, they've made it plain to everyone that they are not of us. Those who are of us know the truth, and that truth rests in understanding who God is and his very nature of being a triune God. So let's start. We're going to look at some other other religions and denominations just to get started. We're going to look at Hindus, Buddhists, and all those. They're not Christian. They don't profess to be Christian by any means. They don't look at the Bible as a biblical text. So it's easy to start there and understand that they are well outside the bounds. Now, remember, our dividing line is this. God is eternally three persons. That means God the Father, God the Son, who is Christ Jesus, and God the Holy Spirit. Number two, each person is fully God. That means no demigods, no active forces, but all are God, fully and eternally. And number three, there is but one God. Now, granted, Christianity, biblical Christianity, would be broken down into these words. So follow me. Trinitarian monotheism. A lot of letters that mean we are monotheists, that or we believe in one God who is of three beings. This is different from tritheism, which we'll get into with a certain religion, which believes that there's three separate gods, which would be just a form of polytheism. And it's different from some other views that we've briefly discussed, like modalism or various other ones. So this is where the dividing line is. God is eternally three persons. Each person is fully God, and there's one God. So we're going to start with the idea that there's a lot of other religions already. Hinduism, Buddhism, atheism, agnosticism. Most Oriental religions, ironically enough, China is the largest country in the world. 75% don't have a religion. The communists in the country have pretty much eradicated religion, so they don't even have an idea. Most of them don't have an idea of God. But what religions are there, like Confucianism, Taoism, and certain other ones, some animism, spiritism, and whatnot. So there's a lot of religions out there that don't even subscribe to any idea of any type of biblical theology. What is interesting is every major society, every major culture in this world has had a religion of their own. Everyone. It shows a need for God. It shows that there's an inward desire for God. Even Paul mentions this. He says, they all have a desire for God, a need for God. Now this is quoting, not quote for quote from Romans, but the back half of Romans, Romans 1 verses 18, would essentially boil down to this. They all have a desire for God, a need for God, but rather than seeking the one who has been clearly perceived since the foundation of the world, they seek the created rather than the creator. They exchange the glory of the one true God for that which was created by him. And this is what Paul was talking about. So you have religions across the board that have foregone the glory of the one true God and have taken images or ideas or created things and made them their bastion of worship, their idea of worship. What's good for us in this instance is God has put an inward desire in all of their heart. God has put a desire upon them to know God. Our role, we've quoted it I don't know how many times, Matthew 28:19-20, go therefore and preach to all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. That's our role. They want to know God. They have a desire to know God. They have religions that are devoted to trying to know God. They just don't know what God they need to know. That's our role. So there's a vast world out there that needs our God, that needs the God of the Bible, the true God who wants to save their souls. Continuing on, getting into closer to us now, the two major religions that I did not mention are of the Abrahamic religions. The Abrahamic religions are this, religions that derive their history back to the forefather Abraham. There's three main religions that do that: Islam, Judaism, and Christianity. They all trace their roots back to Abraham. And so when the Pope, or I think your Pew Research, was that who it was? Your research statistic?
Lifeway
research statistic that said 40% of all evangelicals believe that Christians and Allah are worshiping the same God. That's scary. That's scary because it shows they don't know what they're talking about. They don't know what they're talking about. And we're going to judge this not on my opinion, not on the fact that, you know, we may have negative opinions toward Muslims or whatever it is. We're going to use the dividing line of essential Christian doctrine, the Trinity, to decipher whether they are within or without the bounds of what the Bible talks about. So with Islam, although they worship Allah, who they would say is the same God that you and me worship, Allah just literally is Arabic for God. They say he's the God of Abraham and of the same faith, but yet when you break it down, it's not the same. Yes, they share some overarching similarities, but where they break in biblical Christianity is they reject the notion of the triune God. This is straight from the Quran. People of the book, that is, people of the Bible, do not go in excess into your religion, and do not say anything about God except the truth. The Messiah, Jesus, son of Mary, was nothing more than a messenger of God. His word directed to Mary, a spirit from him. So believe in God and his messengers and do not speak of a Trinity. Stop. That is better for you. God is only one God. He is far above having a son. Everything in the heavens and earth belongs to him, and he is the best one to trust. They don't affirm the Trinity. They see Jesus as a prophet, but they don't see him as a savior. They don't see him as God himself eternally existent. Biblically, within the confines of the Trinity, they cross themselves off the list. The God of Islam and the God of biblical Christianity are far from the same person. And there's no other way that you can come to the conclusion that they are the same person. Just by their very nature, they have to be different. And it's tough to say that. You don't want to be necessarily the person saying, no, we're not worshiping the same God. It'd be nice to just have that big campfire kumbaya song going on. But we're called to a greater truth. We're called to be true to who God is. And that's our effort here. Quite obviously, Islam rejects the Trinity as well as Jesus being the eternally existent Son of God. So even if there's some similarities, they are vastly different. They are very much a completely separate theology and religion from anything Christianity claims to be. Next one, the other Abrahamic religion, which is a little trickier, is Judaism. We share an entire Old Testament with them. Prior to Jesus' incarnation, their history was our history, is our history. Their theology was key to our theology. And how many verses did we go through in the Old Testament to prove that the triune God exists? So their texts are our texts. So how do we decipher the standing within biblical Christianity? First, we need to do this. We need to make a distinction. Man, I'm just lighting it up over here. There's a difference between Old Testament Judaism and modern Judaism. There's a difference between the two. came out. I'm going to try to touch this as little as possible. You put the voodoo on me, huh? So what should be the dividing line between Old Testament Judaism and modern Judaism? What should it be? The answer falls upon Jesus Christ. That's where the distinction is made. That's where it has to be made. Old Testament Judaism was built upon the faith of God's people awaiting the coming Messiah and the outflowing of His Spirit. It was always with the expectation that God would reveal Himself more thoroughly, which started with the incarnation of Jesus. Brother Tim did a great job outlining the Old Testament verses. It was clearly understood, or at least alluded to, within the Old Testament that there was a Trinitarian nature to God. You can make the case for the Trinity strictly from Old Testament scripture. So what's the dividing point? It has to be Jesus and Jesus' incarnation. Modern Judaism holds to the fact of a strict monotheism, and they will very quickly cite what's called the Shema, which is Deuteronomy 6:4, which says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one." They reject the Trinitarian belief. You start to see this in the book of Acts. We went through the book of Acts this past Sunday evening, or part of it. And what you saw was Paul would walk into the synagogues and he would start preaching to the Jewish people there. And he would preach from the law and the prophets, which is the Old Testament. He would preach to the Testament that he had seen Jesus resurrected. And Luke, the author of Acts, would note, he would say, and some believed, but some did not. And this is what the difference is. Modern Judaism rejects the notion of Jesus Christ being the Son of God. Although most will agree that Jesus was a good teacher, a rabbi, none will call him Savior or Lord, as well as they discount any possibility that he even remotely fulfilled any prophecy. And so it's heartbreaking to think that the chosen people of God, the people that he gave his covenants to, the people that he gave the promise of the eternal Messiah, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the great high priest, the one who was to come to take away the sins of the world, have wholesale rejected what God has offered in any form or fashion. So unfortunately, modern Judaism, what we would meet on the street, the person we would meet on the street, they don't believe in the same God we do. They may trace their lineage back to Abraham and the God of Abraham, but it's a wholly different one. For three religions that all trace their lineage back to Abraham, each one has diverged so greatly from one another. They're nothing similar, they're nothing alike. And it is. It's heartbreaking to think that the Bible has expressed itself, but there's been a wholesale rejection among many. Now, before we get into some other Christian denominations, I want to say this. There is a widely accepted theological premise that Jewish people, by the fact that they are simply Hebrew through heritage, through birth, or even Jewish by religion, that the Bible advocates that they will have salvation in the end. But let me be very clear about this. The scripture plainly speaks that salvation comes by faith alone, the grace alone, by Christ alone. Only by Him. So pray. Pray for revival within the Islam community. Pray for revival within the Hebrew community. Understand that the only way they'll ever know the one true God is by understanding the one triune God, especially through Jesus Christ. So now we're going to get into some Christian denominations. I use my air quotes because when I say Christian, they attach their name to Christianity because they may believe in Jesus Christ or they may preach Jesus Christ. But again, when we bring it alongside the dividing line, when we bring it alongside what the Bible says who God is, that's when it starts to differentiate them from what is biblical. Mormonism is the first one we're going to go to. Mormonism is the largest, has the largest collection of adherents, people who believe in that system, within the Christian groups in question. They actually have 15 million believers. That's actually more than the number of Jewish adherents. Jewish people are about 14 million in number. Mormons are 15 million. They're called the Latter-day Saints of Jesus Christ. We're familiar with them because they are an American-based denomination, Salt Lake City. They had their roots here, and they came from here. They started with Joseph Smith, who received a command from an angel, Moroni. I always got to remember that. Moroni. I don't know about y'all. Let me just give you a word of advice. If you ever in the woods and an angel comes and gives you a gospel different from the one that Jesus Christ has provided, run away. I thought that was pretty well covered by Paul, but some people just didn't get the clue. So let me just run. It's not a good scenario. Anyways, Mormonism, I'm going to break it down into the 3 points. Belief in God, belief in the Trinity, belief in Jesus. Mormons, they believe that God was once as we were. Let me say that again. They believe that God was once as you were, human. They say he is not eternal. Joseph Smith declared, God himself was once as we are now and is an exalted man. I'm going to tell you how God came to be God. We have imagined and supposed that God was God from all eternity. I will refute that idea. I will take away the veil so that you may see. He was once a man like us. Yes, the God himself, the Father of us all, dwelt on earth the same as Jesus Christ himself did. It doesn't start off well denying that God is eternal. Beyond that, belief in the Trinity, the first article on the Faith of Mormon Church. This comes from their website. We believe in God, the eternal Father, and his Son, Jesus Christ, and in the Holy Spirit. That sounds great. Sounds great. While this may sound like Christian at the first glance, upon further examination, it is found to be radically different. The Mormon Church explicitly rejects the biblical doctrine of the Trinity. Joseph Smith said, I have always declared God to be a distinct personage, Jesus Christ a separate and distinct personage from God the Father, and that the Holy Ghost was a distinct personage and a spirit. And these three constitute three different distinct personages, three gods. They are not Trinitarian, they are tritheist. But in actuality, because anybody could theoretically become a god, they would technically be polytheist beyond that. Their belief in Jesus is this: he completely is distinct from God the Father and God the Spirit. Mormons believe that Jesus is literally our older brother because we're all spirit children from heaven that came down at different points in time, but Jesus was the firstborn of the heavenly parents who would have been God and some lady, and that he progressed to godhood while in the pre-existence before he came to earth. That's why he has high stature in the Mormon faith. So Jesus was not eternally God. So literally, you go down our dividing line. Oh wait, they failed the first, they failed the second, they failed the third. Mormons may call themselves Christians, but it's not the Christian of the Bible. They may follow Jesus Christ, but it's not the Jesus Christ mentioned in the Bible. They are fully and unequivocally, I've screwed up that word, outside the realms of Orthodox Christianity. Next up, Jehovah's Witness. This denomination began in 1872 and has about 8 million people in it. We've seen their churches all over the place, Kingdom Halls. We have one not too far from our church over on the Bellevue. And although they definitely have some odd theological views, they still would consider themselves Christians. But when we put them against that dividing line, the Trinity, we fall that they have find that they fall short again. According to Jehovah's Witness theology, God is a single person, not a Trinity, who does not know all things and is not everywhere. He first created Michael the archangel, through whom he created all other things. They see Michael the archangel and Jesus as the same person.
including the universe, the earth, and Adam and Eve. Their belief in God is this: they would affirm a sovereign personal God that created the world, but they see him as only being one person. Again, our first premise is God is three persons, eternal. Because they only see him as one person, they therefore negate the Trinity. They don't believe in the Trinity. About the Holy Spirit, they say this: the Holy Spirit is God's power and action, his active force. He emanates from God, but he is not himself a distinct person, but just merely an extension of God Almighty. God sends out his Spirit by projecting his energy to any place to accomplish his will, meaning that the Holy Spirit is not a distinct being, but merely an extension or force of God. In regards to Jesus, they say, we follow the teachings and example of Jesus Christ and honor him as our Savior and as the Son of God. Thus, we are Christians, boldly proclaiming Christianity. However, it's never a good way to continue in your statement of faith. However, we have learned from the Bible that Jesus is not Almighty God and that there is no scriptural basis for the Trinity doctrine. That was in the Baptist Faith and Message. I don't know what I would do in that instance. That would be a scary proposition. Earlier today, Brother Jeff mentioned the heresy of Arianism, that Jesus is less than God, less than fully God, that he's not of the same essence, but that he's like God, of like essence, but less than God. And Jehovah's Witness easily falls in within that heresy. And it's unfortunate to think that this was taken care of in 300, 400 AD, but yet it's 2000, 2016, whatever, 1700 years later, and people don't look back at what the early church fathers said. Look, this is what scripture has preached and has been so since then. And they so easily fall prey to a captivating